Okay, so Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. If you're new this morning, or this is you weren't here last week, we're beginning a series of sermons looking at Romans chapters 12 through to 16. About a year ago, we looked at chapters 1 to 11, and we are just camping out for 2 weeks in these first two verses of Romans 12. Because they're so pivotal and they lay so many foundations for all the instructions we're going to read in the weeks to come that it's worth just spending a couple of weeks in these verses. So we're back in this very short reading. Let's pray together and let's ask for God's help as we look at this together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this monumental letter of Romans, which is so formative for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we come back to these verses that we looked at last week, please would we receive them today, not merely as advice, which we can take or leave, but as your instruction to us. May we receive them not just as human words, but as words from you, the living God. And Father, as your words so often have that great power, please would they have power among us to be changing us today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 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 Just to say, if you're a younger listener, there's a little sheet that you can be filling in. So do grab one of those if you want one. They're just out there. Here's a question for you as we get going this morning. It's a random question, but are you a chameleon or a caterpillar? Okay, that's worth thinking about for a moment. Are you a chameleon or a caterpillar? A chameleon is quite a remarkable creature, isn't it? It takes its form, it takes its color from the environment around it. I have no idea what environment this chameleon's in. It looks like it's in a sweet shop of some kind to me, but I'm colorblind, so what would I know? But here's a chameleon, and it takes its form, it takes its color from the surroundings, its environment. It blends in. It blends in so that it's not eaten by a predator. Doesn't want to get spotted. Doesn't want to get eaten. Or think of a caterpillar. A caterpillar, in contrast to a chameleon, actually almost independently of its environment, without caring what's going on in its environment, kind of cocoons itself and goes through a wonderful transformation. Changes from a bug into a butterfly. A transformation that's so beautiful that even kind of the most hardened of us to nature often stops and goes, wow, as a butterfly flutters past. So this morning, are you a chameleon or are you a caterpillar? Slowly, progressively going through that transformation. As we return to these two verses of Romans 12 this morning, I want us to see that the gospel of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's mercy to us, sinners forgiven, sinners made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, gifted with the Holy Spirit, the mercy of God urges upon those of us who are Christians this morning the need to be a caterpillar and not a chameleon. The need to be a caterpillar and not a chameleon. Now, before you think Nathan's finally lost the plot, I've got a good friend of mine we're going to interview later. He's probably thinking, what on earth have I come to this morning? Before you think I've lost the plot, let's back up and just try and remember where we are in the book of Romans. We are spending a couple of weeks thinking about the implications of one word. What is the word? Therefore. Brilliant. We're looking at the word therefore. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, Paul says. The gospel of God has a therefore. It has a so. God has done this this wonderful showing of mercy to helpless sinners like us. So, therefore, you should do this. And he urges it upon us. This is a command. This is an instruction. This isn't take it or leave it. And this is an instruction for, look at verse 1, brothers and sisters, those who have received this mercy, embraced this mercy, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have been made righteous, justified before God. Now, last week, we saw that the first so of the gospel, if you've received this mercy, the first so is there in verse 1, to offer your bodies, your very self, as a living sacrifice to God. Living a life that's holy, set apart for him, and is pleasing to him. It's the gospel of God, where God lays himself before us and says, look, here is all that I am for you. You who've walked away from me, you who have turned your back on me, you who are bound and stuck in sin, here I am, God says to us in the gospel. Here is everything for you. And the right response, Paul says, and we saw this last week, is to say to him, well, here I am, and to offer him the whole of who we are. But as we come to verse 2, if you look at chapter 12, verse 2, it actually begins with an and. We don't get it in our translation, but it's in the original language. And, so offer yourselves, and here is something else that we should do as a result of what God has done. And what we're being told here is a principle that then works itself out into all the instructions that we're going to look at in the rest of chapters 12 to 16. And so what is it that we're being urged to do, commanded to do, in response to God's mercy to us? What is our right response? And this is where we come back to the caterpillar and the chameleon. Because what is Paul urging us to do? He says, don't be a chameleon. Don't be a chameleon. Now remember that the chameleon takes their form, takes their color from the surrounding environments, pulls on what's around it and takes the shape. It blends in with what's going on around. Look at verse 2. What does the Apostle Paul say? Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Literally, that reads, do not conform to this age. Now, that's a very loaded Bible phrase, do not conform to this age. Paul describes this age in which we live as an age that is passing away. This is the age which is marked by its turning its back on God. Paul has said this age is one that has exchanged the glory of God for lies, swapped God out for created things. This age is marked by a world that's walking away from God rather than walking towards God. Do not conform to the pattern of this age. In contrast, when Paul writes, he talks about the age to come, the age of the new creation, the age of the new. He says, don't conform to this age, meaning the world in which we live that's in rebellion to God. And what he says here is, do not conform. Look at verse 2. Look at that phrase. Do not conform. Now, this idea of conforming is the idea of being squeezed into a mold. Anyone ever made jelly in a mold here to get it to take a shape? You pour jelly in and it takes the shape of the mold. And this instruction here is to not be squeezed into a mold. One of the old paraphrased translations by a man named J.B. Phillips. Anyone ever heard of that translation? He translates it like this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Now, we may not like this, but actually, all of us in this room are always undergoing a transformation. We are always being formed, being shaped in some way. I had to bury this because we're through this stage, but here is a lump of Play-Doh. And you are far more like this lump of Play-Doh than you like to think. Because with Play-Doh, what happens is it's a static object. And as I put force on it, it takes a shape. You see that? I pressured it from the side, and the shape remains. And our lives are like this Play-Doh. We are constantly receiving forces upon us that are leaving a dent, that are shaping us in various ways. We are shaped by, we are formed by the forces that are at work around us. Some positive, some negative, some in some ways neutral. And what we're experiencing is throughout our lives, these forces that are shaping the way we think, the way we behave, the things we think are normal. And actually, our brains are constantly rewiring. People who know more about this could explain it more. But our brains are constantly going through formations, learning how to do new things, thinking certain ways, being shaped. We pass through two giant stages of formation in our progression in human life. Teenagers, you're in one of those great formation stages where you're most influenced at the moment to be shaped into the person that you are. We are all undergoing formation. And that can come from our culture, our parents, our friends, the media. It's why companies today employ influencers. You ever heard of that phrase? Influencers. Because influencers are people who know how to push the pressure. They know how to shape. We are formed by forces, and so companies pay influencers to influence you. And you think, oh, I'm not influenced. Yes, we are. We're all influenced in various ways. We're being formed. We're being squeezed into a mold. And the Apostle Paul, even though he lived however many years ago, 2,000 years ago or whatever, even though he lived, he says to the people he's living amongst, don't let that something be the world. Don't let that something that's pushing you and forming you and shaping you into the person you are be this age. See, every one of us in this room will be feeling the squeeze into the world's mold in different ways. Every one of us will be standing in a slightly different place, but upon our lives will be forces and pressures and voices and influences that will be forming us, seeking to squeeze us into the world's mold of how we should think, what we should say, what is beautiful, what is successful. We'll all be there. And listen, I'm no cultural analyst, or whatever the word is. But actually, I'm going to share with you just a few of the ways I feel the squeeze. And you'll feel this a bit different from where you stand. And we chatted about this as a staff team on Friday, because we are always under these kind of pressures. Here's the first way. I feel the squeeze, and you may well do too, to think the way the world does about sex and relationships. That's a big one at the moment, isn't it? The world wants to squeeze us into its mold. From my children's school sex education curriculum through to TV adverts that show kind of heterosexual couples and gay couples sitting on sofas together, just like it's normal, everything's normal, through to things like the pressure that's been on the Church of England recently to bless gay couples. All of that is the world saying, you've got to think our way about these things. And it's subtle, some not so subtle, but this is what Paul's talking about. The squeeze is on to think the way the world thinks. Do you feel that squeeze? Let me go through another one. I feel the squeeze to think the way the world does about me and my rights. There's another way that the world wants to squeeze us into its mold. My life, my body, my choice. My right to rest, my right to have a holiday, my right to do this, my right to do that. That's the world's way of thinking. And it's trying to squeeze us into its mold. Me first, me, self. Or the idea of truth. Where is real truth found? Our world doesn't no longer say, well, truth is something that comes from outside of us. Truth says you find it in here. And so what feels true for you inside is true, and no one can argue with it. And the world wants me to think that way. You know, if I feel like a dog, then who are you to tell me that I'm not a dog? But that's the way the world thinks, and it says, you've got to think like us or you're wrong. We feel the squeeze. Or perhaps I feel the squeeze as a parent. Maybe you do if you're a parent here. What is it okay to parent? Where are our boundaries as parents? Who's setting that agenda? Is it the world or is it the word? I feel the squeeze. I feel the squeeze over what to give my time to. You know, all of us will feel that, won't we? But for some of us, the things we devote our time to are dictated by what the world says we should give our time to. Have I given enough time to liking everyone's posts on Instagram or replying to everyone's message? You know, man, it's like a social crime if you read someone's message and don't reply to them and they can see you've read it. Boy, oh boy. And so you've got to give your time to it, right? But who's determining? Who is squeezing us into its mold? It's this age. And I watch my family, I've got kids from 8 to 18. You know, I watch on as they're being squeezed into the world's mold. What is beautiful? What is successful? What is okay? What is it all right to give your time to? What is all right to entertain you? Do you feel the squeeze? That's what Paul says. Do not conform. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. God has mercifully saved us out of this age, out of a time of rebellion against God. And he says, don't conform. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. And depending on where you stand, we will feel the squeeze in a different way. We'll all be feeling it in different places as we live in this world, as we live in this age. And so let me ask you to think just for a moment this morning, when you hear this instruction of Paul not to conform, what is it that is squeezing you? Where are you being squeezed into the world's way of thinking rather than the word's way of thinking? Where are you feeling that pressure at the moment? Where is it that you're encountering your world, whether that's TikTok or Instagram, or whether that's your friends at school or your family? Where are you feeling the pressure to be squeezed into the world's mold? And Paul writes this instruction, do not conform, in a tense in the original language that implies that this is an ongoing task. We're constantly in this conversation. Today, where am I being squeezed into the world's thinking? And then you wake up the next day, where today am I being squeezed? This is an ongoing dialogue. Eyes open, radar up. How am I being squeezed into the age that we live in? And so Paul says to us as Christians this morning, do not be a chameleon. Do not take your form, your color, your shape from the environment around you. Don't take your form, your shape, your behavior, your thinking from an age that doesn't want anything to do with God. Don't be a chameleon. Instead, Paul says, what did he say? Good, I'm glad three of you are still alive this morning. That's good. Be a caterpillar. Caterpillars, not the hungry caterpillar. Remember, a caterpillar is undergoing a huge transformation. So they almost independently of their environments, are going through a transformation that's not coming from outside of them, but it happens from inside, from their very being. They undergo this transformation from a bug to a butterfly. See, look what Paul goes on to say. If you've got your Bible, have a look down. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but... Now, that's an important word, okay? Because Paul always gives an alternative. God always gives an alternative. When he says, don't do something, he always gives you something positive to do in its place. If God only ever told us to not do things, well, we'd be like, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. But then you'd be sitting there thinking, well, what do I do now? And then you'd be looking over at the thing that you did all the time, thinking, well, I could go back and do that. God doesn't just give you a no, he gives you a yes. He gives you something positive to put in its place. And so he says, don't conform to the world. Don't be a chameleon, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Let's think about that for a moment. This word, transformed, actually only appears a few times in the New Testament. The first time is at the transfiguration of Jesus. So you remember that story? For some of you may not know that story. That's an occasion where Jesus goes up onto a mountain with three of his closest disciples, and right in front of their eyes, he is transformed. It's the same word. He changes in front of them into this glorious heavenly Jesus, which is kind of sheltered, as it were, in on earth, and people don't see that glory until he's risen from the dead. And here you get this glimpse. He's changed in front of them. The second time that we see this word transformed is in a place in the New Testament called 2 Corinthians, a letter. And I'm going to put it up on the screen because this helps us to understand our Romans passage. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says this about Christians. And we all, Christians, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed, there's the word, into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So what is happening to the Christian? We are being changed, transformed, transfigured into the likeness of Jesus. That's the work that God is doing upon us. Transformed is where we get our word metamorphosis from. Hence the caterpillar. I wasn't trying to grab for something. Hence the caterpillar, metamorphosis, change. See, if I could put it like this morning, it's if Paul is saying, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, Paul would be saying, let God squeeze you into his mold. Let God change you to the way you think, the way you do things, into the way he wants you to do them. Notice that this is something that is done to us. You notice this? In the original language, it's what we call the passive tense, because it's being done to you. Be transformed. Let God transform you. Now, how does he do that? Well, that's part of his mercy to us in the gospel, isn't it? That's why it's linked. God has given you his Spirit. God has shown you mercy. Therefore, let him transform you. Let him do his work in you. Let him turn you from a bug to a butterfly, from a sinner into the likeness of our Savior. And how does that happen? Well, 2 Corinthians tells us, from the Lord who is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who is given to believers, is that work within us to undergo this change, to transform us. And how is he transforming us? Look at verse 2. Going to have a bit of interaction here, just to keep you awake. How is he transforming us? By the renewing of your minds, by changing the way that we think. God is changing us from the inside out, changing the very way that we think about the world, changing the way that we understand his instructions, changing the very place of our desires, changing the very engine from which you make all your decisions that drives you every day. That's where God is at work. And this word renewing is a salvation word. It's a new creation word. It's a God is doing something big, changing something here. He's pulled us out. He's renewing us from our state of wanting nothing to do with God, rebellion against God, thinking God's word doesn't make sense. He's pulling us out of that place, and he's renewing us so that we think, wow, God's word is actually good. It's true. It's right. And I believe it, and I want to do it. That's the renewing that he's going on here. And why is he doing that? Why is he changing us? Have a look. Why is he changing us? What's the fruit of it? The result of it? It says there that then, once you undergo this renewing, as God does this work within you by his Holy Spirit, then, as a result, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect and pleasing will. The fruit of the transformation is that we look at what God says and we say, that's good, that's right. And we approve it, which means that we want to do it, we want to live it. That's what it means when it says that we can test and approve God's will. As the Holy Spirit renews our minds, he is giving us minds to know and delight in and want to obey the very things that God says. And it's a circular process. Because as we hear God's words, he renews our minds. And as he renews our minds, we want to do what God says. And we want to spend time in his word and understanding his commands. And then we want to go round. And we go round and round. And that's the process of transformation. That's what's going on in the cocoon as we don't take our shape from the world, but we take our shape from what God is doing. Wonderful thing, isn't it? And when it talks about God's will here, if you look there, be able to test what God's will is. We've talked about this from the front a few times recently, but we sometimes talk about God's will as, well, what's his plan for my life? But when the Bible talks about God's will, most commonly it's talking about his instructions. So we talk about, and this here is talking about his revealed will, the things he's spoken to us. Or sometimes that's called his preceptive will, his precepts, his instructions to us. And that's what is being spoken of here, that the revealed will, the instructions of God, are the very things that we start to test and approve and say, yes, yes, God, that's the right way. And that's what I want to live. That's what I want to do. He gives us minds to pursue what is good, what is perfect, that means it matures us, and what is pleasing to him. That's what God's instructions are. The good, inherently good. Good for us, good for the world, good for others. It's good. It's maturing, perfect. It helps us to grow up when we obey his instructions. And it pleases him. It gets his smile. You see, through his word and by his spirit, and that is so key. That is how God is at work in us today. Through his word, by his spirit, he is transforming bugs. Can you call a caterpillar a bug? I don't know if you can. But he's transforming us from bugs into butterflies. From creatures that you'd look at and think, ooh, to something you look at and go, wow. Because it's in the image of Jesus. And anything in the image of Jesus makes you go, wow, isn't that beautiful? So no wonder Paul says, doesn't it, in view of God's mercy, in view of his kindness to you, in view of his giving everything for us, no wonder he says to us, why don't you let him squeeze you into his mold rather than the world's mold? Be a caterpillar. Let him transform you. Now, before we pack it up, I want us to think about something here, because this is an instruction to us. Be transformed. Now, you might think, well, hang on. If it's something God does to us, how can I do it? Does that make sense? It's like me telling you, let it rain on you. And you're like, well, I've got no control over the rain. What are you saying to me? And this is where the Bible kind of gives us this kind of divine partnership, where here is something that God is lovingly doing to us, but it's also an instruction. And so we play our part in this. And the part that we play is to willingly put ourselves in the place where God will do this transforming work. So what does that look like for us? Well, it looks like being in chapters 12 to 16 of Romans in the next few weeks. Putting yourself in the place where God, by his word, through his spirit, can do that transforming work in us. Do you want to be transformed? No one wants to be transformed. I want to be transformed. I'm coming to church for the next 12 Sundays because I want to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And I hope you do too. Be transformed. Let God change you into his mold. And that happens through the word, by his spirit, working within us. And you've got to put yourselves in those places. You've got to willingly embrace what God is telling us. And that's how the transformation undergoes. That's how we slowly, progressively, almost unperceivably at times, are undergoing a transformation from bugs to butterflies, from sinners into the likeness of our Savior. Be a caterpillar. Be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. By the renewing of your mind, let God change the way you think. Friends, our time is gone. We're going to move on from these first two verses. I'm sure we could squeeze another week out of them, but I don't think you'll be that patient with me. So here we go. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. For some of us here this morning, the thing I need to urge you to do is to receive that mercy. Some of you are here this morning and you haven't yet received the mercy of Jesus Christ to save you. to justify you before God, to save you from the condemnation that we deserve. And this morning, I want to simply say to you, this is freely given to those who come to Jesus. Will you receive that mercy? And to those of us who have received that mercy, let me remind you that the gospel, God's kindness to us, has a therefore. You don't sit there passively. The gospel has a therefore. Therefore, the God who says to you, here I am, you say to him, here I am, and you offer him the whole of your life. But secondly, as we've seen today, don't be a chameleon. In view of God's mercy, in view of his saving you out of this age, don't blend in with the world so you don't get eaten. That's what a chameleon does. He blends in so he doesn't get eaten. Don't blend in so that we don't get eaten. Don't take on your form from the world around you. Instead, be a caterpillar. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. Amen. Let's have a moment, shall we, just to think on, reflect on some of that. Maybe there's an area at the moment you're really feeling squeezed into the world's mold. And maybe you just want to pray that in, and then I'll lead us in a prayer before we sing. Father, afresh this morning, we want to say thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That though we were sinners, that though our wages should be death, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners like us. Thank you, Father, that you presented him as an atonement sacrifice for us, to cover our sins, forgive us, and that we might be justified freely by faith. And we thank you for the gift of the Spirit. Help us not to conform to the way of this world. Father, I would confess to be so blind sometimes to the way that the world is squeezing us into its mold that I miss it. And I pray, please, that you'd give all of us here eyes to see where we have been or are being squeezed into the world's mold. Its way of thinking, its way of behaving. Forgive us for the things that have become normal to us that should not have become normal. And please would you transform us, keep transforming us by the renewing of our minds. May we love and obey your good, perfect, pleasing to you instructions, even this week. Please help us in this coming week to be transformed by the instructions that we will read together over these coming weeks. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.